Hi, this is Growing Up Aspen with Andy Collin and Chris Pomeroy, and today we're here interviewing Adam Kane, who I was yearbook photographer all the way to Hollywood cinematographer, producer, director. He's done a lot of films, Boondock Saints, he's worked on American Gods, the TV show, and he's here with us today. So yeah, here is Adam Kane. So can you talk a little bit about your journey? I mean, once you go from Aspen to what you do now, can you talk a little bit about, I mean,
yeah,
feels like that's kind of an interesting topic.
Well, towards the end of, after I left Aspen High School and went into Country Day, I kept doing a lot of the video filmmaking centric things that I was doing. But I also was gaining a pretty big interest in music because I'd played guitar from a young age, you know, played in bands and blah, blah, blah. And so I was really focused on music school. And because my mother was a musician, she absolutely was brick walling me. No way. No way. I wanted to go to Berkeley. She said, absolutely not. You know, she said, which I think is really funny now, but she said, why don't you go to film school? The film business is way more stable, which is laughable. But in a way, given what's happened to the industry, she was kind of right, actually. Because in the old days, like, you know, during that time, if you were a band, you would make an album so you could tour to promote the album and make record sales. And that's how you made money. Right. And now it's completely the inverse. You can't make money from selling albums at all. And you really kind of have to tour if you're going to make any money as a band.
You got to sell merch. Sell merchandise.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you in today's market, your music is not your biggest asset, which confuses a lot of musicians that are trying to break through.
Well, so, it's interesting because we're crossing into that world of influencers and everybody sort of, I mean, that became a big thing after our time, you know, in our time, you know, you're talking about two completely different worlds. And it's interesting being in that, you know, growing up in between all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my mother sort of, you know, forcefully shoved me in the direction of filmmaking. So I applied to several places and I got into New York University. And so I went to NYU, to the film school, to school the arts. And I got my my bachelor's there. And while I was there in my first year or two, I took every music course that I could. I was still sort of, you know, rebelliously trying to do my thing, and I had a band in college and blah blah blah. But I discovered, and I was sort of doing anything sound related because of the music, and I started in the film school being a sound recordist on student films. And that's where I saw a student cinematographer on a student film lighting and shooting, and it was like struck by lightning, fell in love with it immediately. Abandon all things sound and took up photography and became a cinematographer, which I had a real some kind of a gift for. So that brought me to the end of New York in the 1980s, which was dry as a bone. I had I don't know, about $80,000 of debt from NYU. Had no idea I was going to pay it. Speaking of animation, at that time, I started to work at a place called Broadcast Arts, which I don't think is there anymore. It was on Broadway in New York. And I was an assistant cameraman for these animation guys who were creating the little MTV bumpers, which you may remember from the 80s. where it had the MTV theme and you'd see claymation forming MTV and it was like 10 seconds long, right?
Yeah.
And so,
Andy did a bunch of those, try to get them in there. As a matter of fact, I worked on a couple with him too. I doubt you would have ever seen those because this was later in the 90s, but we did try to sell a few of those.
Well, I did get a little short in the cartoon sushi thing, which they put up. But yeah, that was, I remember that was, it was funny because in a way it was interesting because that was a time where everything was Warner Brothers and Bugs Bunny, you know, and Mickey Mouse. There wasn't an independent edge to things, you know what I mean? And I feel like MTV doing that kind of opened the door for all this wacky, crazy, independent stuff. And then out came Nickelodeon with Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy. And then that kind of opened the floodgates for animation. Yeah. And so it was interesting that you were part of that early introduction.
Well, Adam, did you ever run into Dean at NYU?
Yeah, I did, actually. I did see Dean there. That's where we reconnected, and it was completely accidental. I had no idea, of course, because I went to Country Day, and he was at AHS. I had no idea that he had gone. So I think we saw each other there midway through sophomore year or something like that.
That's funny.
And we kept in touch. In fact, Dean had come up here to Vancouver, where I live now, maybe about 8 or 9 years ago, and we had a meal together, and it was just amazing to catch up with him.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great.
I have another question for you, sort of a segue to, and I think we talked about this years ago when I saw you in Burbank, but in the 90s, I remember renting and watching the Boondock Saints. And when the end of the movie came up and the credits came up, I kept telling whoever I was watching it with, I was like, man, whoever's directing this is awesome. A lot of Martin Scorsese type shots. There's all these cool things. And then I saw Adam Kane and I went, oh, I know a guy named Adam Kane. That's funny. And I never really thought about it again. And then, you know, many years later, I realized it was actually you.
Yeah, I didn't direct it. I was a cinematographer on the Boondock Saints. And that was a career changer for me. It didn't move the needle as much as I wanted it to, but it did put me in the mental mindset of producers and executives who were hiring that I was probably capable of more than I was doing at the time.
That's really cool. If it means anything, you know, I know a guy in Fort Collins, a friend of ours, that named both of his kids after the brothers. It did have an impact for sure.
Well, thanks for listening. The authors of Growing Up Aspen would like to thank you and would like to also thank the Aspen Times and the Aspen Daily News for giving us materials for our book, Growing Up Aspen, Adventures of the Unsupervised, which you can get at twistandturnpress.com and any local bookstore. Thanks.